Bitter winds howled through the skeletal trees of Kinsley Woods, carrying a faint, desperate whimper that stopped a shivering outcast dead in her tracks. Gwyneth, a banished Omega, knelt in the knee-deep snow, unearthing a freezing, blue-lipped infant wrapped in stolen velvet. But the true nightmare began the second her bare skin brushed the child's cheek. Searing agony ripped through her collarbone, permanently branding her flesh with the royal crest. She had just found the Alpha King's missing heir. Winter in the northern province of Northumbria, during the year 1452, was not merely a season. It was a ruthless executioner. The locals called this particular blizzard the Widow's Breath, a tempest of blinding white that buried cottages up to their thatched roofs and froze livestock solid in their pens. For a rogue Omega like Gwyneth Bailey, this weather should have been an immediate death sentence. Omegas were fragile by nature, prized only for their submission and warmth within the safety of a pack's inner den. To be packless, wandering the desolate borders of the Ironwood Territory in a threadbare wool cloak, was to be a walking ghost. Gwyneth had survived by trusting no one and moving strictly under the cover of darkness. Her former pack, the Baileys of the River Valley, had been slaughtered 3 winters prior by marauding rogues, leaving her to scavenge the harsh wilderness alone. She kept her scent masked with crushed pine needles and dried wolf's bane, suppressing her natural sweet pheromones that would otherwise draw unwanted violent attention from passing alphas. On the fourth night of the Widow's Breath, hunger drove her from the hollowed-out base of an ancient oak tree. She had not eaten in 3 days. Her boots, wrapped in layers of filthy rags, crunched softly against the icy crust of the snow. Every breath felt like inhaling powdered glass. The moon, a pale, indifferent sliver, offered barely enough light to navigate the treacherous ravine near the edge of the royal lands. That was when she heard it. At first, Gwyneth thought it was the wind whistling through the frost-shattered branches, but the sound came again, a weak, rhythmic hitching, a whimper. It was not the cry of an animal. It was undeniably human, or more accurately, lichen. Against every survival instinct screaming at her to keep moving, Gwyneth followed the sound. She waded through a massive snowdrift, her frozen fingers parting the heavy branches of a snow-laden fir tree. Beneath the sweeping boughs, shielded slightly from the biting wind, lay a bundle. Gwyneth dropped to her knees, her heart hammering against her ribs. She reached out with trembling hands and pulled back the fabric. It was a thick, heavy velvet, a deep, unnatural crimson that stood out violently against the pristine white snow. Gold thread spun in intricate archaic runes lined the hem. It was not the fabric of a peasant, nor even a minor lord. It was royal cloth. Inside the extravagant swaddling was an infant no more than 3 moons old. The baby's skin was a terrifying, translucent shade of blue, and his tiny chest barely rose with each shallow, stuttering breath. Ice crystals clung to his dark, wispy hair. He was dying. "Oh, goddess!" Gwyneth breathed the words tearing from her cracked lips. She did not think. The deeply ingrained biological imperative of her Omega nature, the fierce, overriding need to nurture and protect the young, surged through her veins, overriding her hypothermia and starvation. She tore off her thick, ragged mittens and reached down to lift the freezing child against her own chest, desperately wanting to share whatever meager body heat she had left. The absolute second, her bare, calloused fingers brushed against the infant's icy cheek, the world shattered. It did not feel like a touch. It felt like being struck by a bolt of lightning. A shockwave of pure ancient magic blasted up Gwyneth's arm, forceful enough to make her gasp and arch backward. But she did not drop the child. Instead, an agonizing, blinding heat erupted at the base of her neck, right over her left collarbone. Gwyneth screamed a raw, tearing sound that was instantly swallowed by the howling wind. She collapsed into the snow, curling around the baby as the flesh of her shoulder literally hissed. The pain was absolute, smelling of singed skin and ozone. It felt as though a blacksmith had taken a white-hot branding iron straight from the forge and pressed it deeply into her flesh, holding it there while she thrashed in the powder. Tears streamed down her face, freezing instantly on her cheeks. She clamped her teeth down on her own lip to keep from screaming again, tasting copper. The excruciating burn lasted for what felt like hours, though it could have only been a minute. When the fiery torment finally subsided into a dull, pulsing ache, Gwyneth lay panting, her vision swimming with dark spots. Trembling uncontrollably, she reached a hand up to her collarbone, pulling her ragged collar aside. Her fingers brushed against raised, blistering skin. Even in the dim moonlight, and even without a mirror, the inherent magic of her lichen blood told her exactly what the shape was. It was a massive wolf reared back on its hind legs, clutching a broad sword in its jaws. A crown rested between its ears. The royal crest of the House of Croft, the mark of the Alpha King. Gwyneth's breath hitched in her throat, her eyes widening in pure terror as she stared down at the shivering baby in her arms. In werewolf lore, a mate mark only appeared when the fated pair made physical contact. But there was one rare, legendary exception, an ancient failsafe of the moon goddess. If an Omega touched the direct royal bloodline of their fated alpha mate while the child was in mortal peril, the bond would forcefully ignite across the distance, branding the Omega to ensure the protection of the royal heir. This baby, this dying child in the snow, was the son of Gonzalo Croft, the Alpha King of the Northern Reaches, and the burning brand on her flesh meant that she, a starved, nameless, packless Omega, was the king's fated mate. "No," she whispered, panic constricting her throat. "No, this is impossible." But the baby gave another weak, rattling gasp, pulling her from her shock. The infant was fading fast. The mark on her neck throbbed in rhythm with the baby's failing heartbeat, a magical tether demanding that she keep him alive. If he died, the sudden severing of the new royal bond would likely stop her own heart. Gwyneth unbuttoned her worn tunic, pressing the infant's frozen body directly against her bare skin, wrapping her cloak tightly around them both. She had to find shelter. She had to build a fire. But as she struggled to her feet, the wind shifted, carrying a scent that made her blood run colder than the blizzard around her. It was the heavy, acrid stench of iron damp leather and sour alpha pheromones. Wolves, a hunting party, and they were close. "Spread out." The brat couldn't have survived long in this freeze, but Lord Montgomery wants the corpse. Find it. The gruff commanding bark echoed through the trees, snapping Gwyneth out of her lingering daze. She knew that name. Lord Reginald Montgomery was a high-ranking duke, a supposedly loyal vassal to King Gonzalo. If Montgomery's men were out here looking for the baby's corpse, it meant this was no tragic accident. The king's heir hadn't been lost. He had been stolen, assassinated, and the men who had done it were currently stomping through the snow, not 200 yards away. Gwyneth scrambled backward, clutching the baby tightly to her chest. Her boots slipped on a patch of black ice, sending her tumbling down the steep embankment of the ravine. She bit down hard on her tongue to stifle a cry, sliding through the snow and dead brambles, until she crashed into the frozen creek bed at the bottom. The baby jolted, but remained terrifyingly silent, his energy completely spent. Above her, the sweeping beams of pine pitch torches cut through the driving snow, casting long, monstrous shadows over the edge of the ravine. "Captain Henrik," a voice yelled from the ridge. "Tracks over here. Looks like someone dragged themselves away from the main road. Follow them, Henrik ordered, his voice dripping with cruelty. If anyone found the bastard, kill them too. No witnesses. Montgomery assumes the throne by the next full moon, and I'll be damned if some peasant ruins it. Gwyneth's heart pounded a frantic rhythm against the baby's chest. The political reality crashed over her. The king's Luna, the mother of this child, must be dead. Montgomery had orchestrated a coup, stealing the infant to break King Gonzalo's lineage and drive the notoriously fierce Alpha King into a grief-stricken madness. She had to hide. Now, Gwyneth crawled along the frozen creek bed, using the deep overhang of the ravine's edge to shield her from the torchlight above. Her knees bruised against the ice, her breath coming in short, silent gasps. The baby was growing colder by the second, his skin feeling like marble against her chest. The mate mark on her collarbone pulsed with a sharp, agonizing warning. Warm him. Save him. She spotted a narrow fissure in the rock wall of the ravine, partially obscured by the thick, frozen roots of a dying tree. It was barely large enough for a fox, let alone a human. But Gwyneth was desperate. She squeezed herself into the crevice, her shoulders scraping against the jagged stone. She retreated as far back into the suffocating darkness as she could, just as heavy boots crunched onto the ice of the creek bed, directly outside her hiding spot. I lost the tracks, Captain, a soldier grunted. The wind is burying them too fast. Sniff them out, you fool, shift if you have to, Henrik snapped. Gwyneth squeezed her eyes shut. She was downwind, but her natural scent was heavily masked by the wolf's bane. However, the baby smelled of milk, royal alpha blood, and impending death. If the soldiers shifted their enhanced lichen senses, would easily pick up the infant's scent. Gwyneth had only one advantage. As an Omega, her control over her own physiology, specifically regarding nurturing, was instinctual and powerful. She couldn't fight, but she could protect. In the cramped darkness of the cave, she closed her eyes and let her wolf take over. The shift was agonizingly cramped. Bones cracked and realigned skin dissolved into thick fur. Within seconds, a small russet-colored wolf lay curled in the dirt. Her wolf form was exceptionally small, a hallmark of an underfed Omega, but her fur was dense and incredibly warm. She nudged the baby into the center of her curled body, wrapping her bushy tail securely around his tiny, freezing form. She buried her warm snout against the infant's chest, exhaling her hot breath over his face. At the same time, she forced her own scent glands to overproduce the smell of the damp earth and dried pine needles she had rolled in earlier, creating a localized scent barrier to mask the royal blood. Outside the cave, a massive gray wolf with yellow eyes sniffed at the frozen creek. The beast paused right in front of the tree roots, hiding Gwyneth's crevice. Gwyneth held her breath, her russet ears flattening against her skull. She could hear the gray wolf's wet nose, inhaling deeply. Please, she prayed to the moon goddess. Please. The gray wolf let out a frustrated snort, pawed at the ice, and turned away. Nothing, Captain Henrik's voice called out, having shifted back to his human form. The storm is too thick. If the brat is out here, he's frozen solid by now anyway. Let the winter have him. We return to the stronghold and tell Montgomery the deed is done. Gwyneth didn't move a muscle for hours. She stayed curled around the infant, vibrating with her own body heat, pouring every ounce of her life force into the tiny air. Slowly, miraculously, the horrific chill began to leave the baby's skin. The blue tint faded to a pale, ghostly white, and his breathing deepened from shallow rattles to soft, steady puffs of air. By the time the first gray, lifeless light of dawn began to filter through the blizzard, the infant let out a soft, demanding cry. He was alive. Gwyneth shifted back to her human form, her naked body shivering violently in the freezing cave. She quickly dressed in her rags, re-swaddling the baby in the heavy velvet. She looked down at the child. He opened his eyes, a striking, piercing shade of icy blue, the exact color of the legendary Croft bloodline. "I've got you," she whispered, her voice hoarse. "I've got you, little one." But survival in the cave was temporary. Without milk, without fire, the baby would perish by nightfall. And Lord Montgomery's men controlled the roads. There was only one place she could go, a place that meant certain capture and likely execution for a rogue Omega. But it was the only place where the baby would be safe. She had to walk straight into the village of Kinsley, where the king's loyalists were reportedly stationed. She had to return the heir to the very world that had cast her out. The village of Kinsley was not merely awake. It was a hive of absolute terror. As Gwyneth limped toward the outskirts of the settlement, the snowstorm finally breaking into a light, icy drizzle, she saw the devastation. The muddy central square was filled with heavily armored Lycan warriors, their cloaks bearing the fearsome wolf and sword crest of the king. Villagers were being dragged from their homes, lined up in the freezing mud, interrogated at sword point. The Alpha King had arrived. Gwyneth hid behind the charred remains of a blacksmith's forge, watching the chaos. The air in the village was thick with a suffocating, dominating aura. It was the presence of an Alpha King pushed to the absolute brink of sanity. Even from a distance, the sheer pressure of Gonzalo Croft's pheromones made Gwyneth's knees buckle. It was a scent of ozone, crushed iron, and violent, blood-soaked grief. In the center of the square, mounted on a massive beast of a warhorse, sat King Gonzalo himself. He was a towering, terrifying figure. His armor was battle-worn, his dark hair plastered to his forehead by the freezing rain. His face was carved from granite harsh and hollowed out by a nightmare that no ruler should ever face. Beside him, mounted on a lighter steed, was none other than Duke Reginald Montgomery, looking appropriately solemn, playing the part of the grieving, loyal advisor. "My king," Montgomery said, his voice loud enough to carry over the terrified weeping of the villagers. "We have searched every home. The rogues who ambushed the royal carriage, they left no trace. The queen is dead, and the prince. We must prepare for the worst." Gonzalo's eyes, burning with a lethal, terrifying golden light of his inner Lycan, snapped toward Montgomery. "My son is not dead, Reginald. I would feel it in my soul." Gwyneth knew she had a very narrow window. If she walked out there, Montgomery would recognize the baby's velvet swaddling immediately. He would order his men to shoot her down before she could utter a word, claiming she was a hostile rogue. She needed to bypass the guards and reach the king directly. She looked down at the baby in her arms. Little Leo, she had instinctively named him in the dark of the cave, was sleeping soundly, completely unaware of the political powder keg he was about to ignite. "For the child," Gwyneth told herself, "for my mate's child." Taking a deep, shuddering breath, Gwyneth stepped out from behind the forge and walked directly into the open mud of the village square. She was a pathetic sight, a starving, filthy woman in rags clutching a bundle of royal crimson velvet. She hadn't taken three steps before a perimeter guard spotted her. "Halt!" the guard roared, drawing a broadsword. "Rogue, drop the bundle and drop to your knees." The shout drew the attention of the entire square. The villagers gasped. The interrogations stopped. And upon his warhorse, King Gonzalo turned his head. Gwyneth did not stop. She kept her eyes locked on the king, walking forward with a desperate, hobbling gait. "I said halt!" The guard lunged his hand, reaching out to grab her shoulder. "Don't touch me!" Gwyneth screamed, her voice cracking with the authority of a desperate mother. She dodged the guard's grasp, but the sudden movement caused her tattered cloak to slip, revealing the deep crimson velvet of the royal swaddling. On his horse, Montgomery's eyes widened in sheer panic. Archers! Montgomery roared, his facade of calm completely shattering. She's a rogue assassin. She has the stolen prince. Shoot her down. Two archers on the perimeter instinctively raised their crossbows, but before a single trigger could be pulled, a sound like thunder ripped through the square. Hold! The command was so laden with alpha dominance that several of the villagers collapsed into the mud unconscious. The archers froze their hands, trembling violently. King Gonzalo vaulted from his horse, hitting the muddy ground with a heavy metallic clatter. His golden eyes were locked onto the crimson velvet in Gwyneth's arms. He did not walk. He stalked toward her, a predator closing in on its prey. The crowd parted, instantly terrified of the lethal aura radiating from him. Montgomery scrambled down from his own horse, drawing his sword. My king, do not approach her. She is a feral omega. She likely killed the queen herself. Silence! Gonzalo snarled without looking back. He stopped 3 paces from Gwyneth. Gwyneth was shaking so hard, she feared she might drop the child. Up close, the king was magnificent and terrifying. His presence overwhelmed her senses. Beneath the scent of iron and grief, she caught the faint underlying scent of her fated mate, cedarwood and dark amber. The burn on her collarbone flared to life, throbbing with a sudden intense heat that matched the rhythm of Gonzalo's own heartbeat. Gonzalo's nostrils flared. His eyes darted from the velvet bundle to Gwyneth's face. His brow furrowed in utter confusion. He could smell the royal blood of his infant son alive and breathing. But he also smelled her. The mate bond dormant in him for his entire life slammed into his chest like a physical blow. The ancient magic recognized the connection forged in the snow. Gonzalo gasped, his golden eyes widening as the scent of crushed pine needles faded, revealing the intoxicating pure scent of vanilla and rain, her true omega scent. Who? Gonzalo breathed, his voice stripped of its terrifying edge, replaced by a raw, desperate vulnerability. Who are you? Montgomery saw his entire treasonous plot unraveling before his eyes. God sees her. She is a witch. She is using foul magic on the king. He screamed, lunging forward with his sword raised toward Gwyneth's back. Gwyneth didn't have time to run. She simply turned her body to shield the baby, squeezing her eyes shut, waiting for the bite of Montgomery's steel. It never came. A sickening crack echoed through the square. Gwyneth opened her eyes to see King Gonzalo standing over a crumpled Lord Montgomery. The king had moved with inhuman speed, backhanding the duke with enough force to shatter his jaw and send him flying into the mud. Gonzalo stepped over the traitor's body and gently, reverently approached Gwyneth. He reached out with hands large enough to crush a man's skull and carefully pulled the velvet fabric back. Little Leo looked up at his father, blinking his icy blue eyes, and let out a soft coo. A ragged sob tore from the Alpha King's throat. He fell to his knees in the freezing mud right in front of Gwyneth. He wrapped his massive arms around both the baby and Gwyneth's waist, burying his face against her stomach, as the unbreakable composure of the king finally shattered into tears of profound relief. Gwyneth stood frozen, an outcast omega, suddenly being held by the most powerful alpha in the realm. The villagers stared in stunned silence. Gonzalo slowly looked up at her, his golden eyes filled with a terrifying, absolute devotion. You saved him. You saved my blood. He reached up his large, calloused fingers, brushing against the ragged collar of her tunic. And you, your scent. My soul knows you. With a gentle tug, Gonzalo pulled the fabric of her collar aside. The entire village gasped collectively. There, angry and red, permanently scarred into the pale skin of her collarbone, was the mark of the Alpha King. the wolf and the sword. Gonzalo stared at the mark, tracing the outline of the crown with a trembling thumb. The touch sent a cascade of warm, comforting sparks down her spine, the magic of the bond finally completing itself. He looked into her eyes, the fierce, protective nature of the Alpha, fully merging with his soul's recognition of its other half. "My mate," Gonzalo whispered, his voice carrying clearly in the dead silence of the square. He stood up, turning to face his army, and the kneeling villagers his arm wrapped protectively around Gwyneth and his son. "Arrest Duke Montgomery and his men!" The king commanded, his voice ringing like a struck bell, "and let it be known across every territory of the Northern Reaches. The king has found his heir, and he has found his queen." Whispers echoed through the grand halls of Winterbourne Citadel, long before Gwyneth's royal carriage even breached the iron portcullis. News of the Alpha King's return traveled faster than a falcon in a dive, carrying with it a tale so scandalous the noble lords and ladies of the court nearly choked on their evening wine. Gonzalo Croft had not only recovered his stolen heir, little Leo, but he was bringing home a packless, ragged Omega, bearing the royal mate mark. Winterbourne Citadel was a fortress carved from obsidian and pale granite, a massive architectural marvel that loomed over the icy fjords of the Northern Reaches. For Gwyneth, stepping out of the velvet-lined carriage and into the grand courtyard was like stepping onto an alien planet. She was flanked by an honor guard of elite Lycan warriors, their heavy silver armor clanking rhythmically against the cobblestones. King Gonzalo walked beside her, his massive frame shielding her from the biting wind and the piercing, judgmental stares of the gathered nobility. He had ordered his royal handmaidens to bathe and dress her during a brief stop at a secure outpost. Now, instead of filthy rags, Gwyneth wore a breathtaking gown of midnight blue silk lined with thick white ermine fur. Yet despite the finery, she felt entirely exposed. Her collarbone ached the freshly scarred brand of the wolf and sword, pulsing with a steady grounding heat. It was the only thing keeping her tethered to reality, as a sea of hostile Alpha and Beta nobles bowed stiffly at their king's approach. "Keep your eyes forward, my little bird," Gonzalo murmured, his deep voice rumbling near her ear, pitched so only her enhanced hearing could catch it. His large hand rested firmly on the small of her back, radiating a possessive, comforting warmth. "They smell your fear. Do not let them feast on it." Gwyneth swallowed hard, forcing her spine straight. She tightened her grip on the sleeping infant, nestled securely in her arms. "They hate me," she whispered back. "I am an Omega. To them, I am meant to be hidden away in a den not standing at the right hand of the king. They will learn respect, or they will learn how sharp my blade truly is." Gonzalo growled, his golden eyes sweeping over the crowd with a lethal warning. The grand doors of the throne room swung open, revealing a cavernous hall illuminated by hundreds of floating tallow candles. At the far end, elevated on a dais of polished black marble, sat the king's chair. Beside it, empty and cold, was the smaller seat meant for his queen. As they marched down the long crimson carpet, Gwyneth noticed a small group of high-born figures standing near the dais. Among them was Lady Beatrice of the House of Carmichael, a notoriously ruthless Alpha female whose family held immense wealth and influence in the eastern provinces. Beatrice's eyes, a toxic shade of emerald green, locked onto Gwyneth with a hatred so pure it felt like a physical strike. "My king," a reedy, calculating voice called out as they reached the steps of the dais. Lord Winston Carmichael, Beatrice's uncle and the current master of the treasury, bowed low. "We rejoice at your safe return and the miraculous recovery of the young prince. However, the court is confused. Lord Montgomery is currently chained in the lower dungeons, screaming of witchcraft and feral beasts. Gonzalo's jaw clenched his lichen aura, flaring with sudden, suffocating intensity. Several courtiers took a hasty step backward, gasping for air. "Montgomery is a traitor," Gonzalo declared, his voice echoing like thunder against the stone walls. "He conspired to murder my former queen, intercept the royal escort, and leave my infant son to freeze in the widow's breath storm. He aimed to break a lineage and seize the crown for himself." Gasps rippled through the hall. Treason of this magnitude was punishable by a slow, agonizing execution. And what of this woman? Lady Beatrice stepped forward, her lip curling in a sneer as she pointed a manicured finger at Gwyneth. "You bring a nameless stray into our sacred halls. She reeks of wild forests and poverty. How can we be certain she is not part of Montgomery's plot? A convenient savior planted to infiltrate the royal family." Gwyneth's breath hitched. It was a perfectly crafted accusation. How could she, a banished rogue, prove her innocence against the word of the highborn Gonzalo? Didn't argue. He simply reached out and took Gwyneth's free hand, pulling her gently up the steps of the dais. He turned her to face the entire court. With deliberate, agonizing slowness, he reached toward the neckline of her silk gown and pulled the fabric just wide enough to expose her left collarbone. The glowing raised scar of the royal crest caught the candlelight. Absolute silence fell over the throne room. To fake a royal mate mark was impossible. The ancient magic of the moon goddess would instantly burn an impostor to ash. The brand was undeniable proof of divine selection. "This is Gwyneth," Gonzalo proclaimed, his voice, leaving no room for debate. "She risked her own life to save my son. In doing so, the goddess deemed her worthy. She is my fated mate. She is your true queen. Any soul who questions her place by my side will answer directly to my claws." Lord Winston Carmichael paled, dropping hastily to one knee. Reluctantly, the rest of the court followed suit, a wave of rustling silk and velvet, as hundreds of nobles bowed to the ragged Omega from the snow. But as Lady Beatrice lowered her head, Gwyneth caught a fleeting, terrifying glimpse of the Alpha Woman's face. Beatrice was not defeated. She was smiling a cold, calculating smirk that promised absolute ruin. 3 weeks passed since Gwyneth's arrival at Winterbourne Citadel. To the outside world, the kingdom was healing. Lord Montgomery had been tried, found guilty of high treason, and publicly executed by the king's own hand. Yet within the suffocating stone walls of the keep, a silent war was raging. Gwyneth quickly learned that surviving a blizzard was entirely different from surviving the royal court. As an Omega, her natural instincts were wired for nurturing empathy and seeking harmony. The court, however, was a venomous pit of ambition, deceit, and hidden agendas. Despite Gonzalo's fierce protection, he could not be with her every second of the day. The king was burdened with repairing the fractured alliances caused by Montgomery's treason. This left Gwyneth alone to navigate the treacherous social landscape guarded only by a few loyal sentries and her own heightened senses. Her saving grace was little Leo. The infant prince thrived under her constant care. The bond forged in the snow tethered their souls in a way even Gonzalo marveled at. When Gwyneth sang soft ancient lullabies, the baby's icy blue eyes would glow faintly with nascent lichen magic, a sign of his immense growing strength. It was a Tuesday afternoon, grey and heavy with impending snow, when the viper finally struck. Gwyneth was in the royal nursery, a lavish room situated in the highest tower of the keep. The hearth was roaring, casting a warm golden glow over the carved wooden cradle. She was humming softly, rocking Leo to sleep, when a sharp knock echoed against the heavy oak door. "Enter," Gwyneth called out softly. The door creaked open, revealing Dr. Linus Corrington, the royal physician. He was a frail, elderly beta, with a stooped back and a nervous twitch in his left eye. He carried a silver tray holding a steaming goblet and a small crystal vial. "My deepest apologies for the intrusion, my queen," Dr. Corrington murmured, bowing deeply. "But Lady Beatrice expressed profound concern for your health. She noted you looked somewhat pale during the morning court session. She insisted I bring you a specialized herbal tonic to fortify your strength along with the young prince's daily drops." Gwyneth's maternal instincts instantly flared. The hairs on the back of her neck stood at attention. Lady Beatrice had never shown her an ounce of kindness, let alone concern for her health. "Thank you, Doctor," Gwyneth said evenly, masking her suspicion behind a serene smile. "Please leave it on the table." "Forgive me, my queen, but the tonic must be consumed while hot to be effective," Corrington insisted, taking a step closer. His hand trembled slightly as he held out the silver tray. Gwyneth gently placed sleeping Leo into his cradle, ensuring the heavy blankets covered him securely. She turned back to the physician, stepping closer to the tray. As an Omega, her sense of smell was profoundly attuned to organic compounds, a biological adaptation meant to protect the pack's young from poisonous flora. She leaned over the steaming goblet, inhaling deeply. Beneath the overwhelming fragrant scent of sweet lavender and crushed mint, a tiny sharp note hit the back of her throat. It was faint, almost imperceptible but unmistakable. It smelled like scorched earth and bitter almonds, nightshade, mixed with concentrated wolf's bane, a lethal cocktail designed to stop a lichen's heart within minutes, crafted carefully to mimic a natural aneurysm. Gwyneth's eyes snapped up, locking on to the terrified, shifting gaze of Dr. Corrington. "Doctor," she said, her voice dropping to a dangerously calm whisper. "Who exactly prepared this draft?" I did my queen under my strict supervision," he stammered, sweat beading on his wrinkled forehead. "Is that so?" Gwyneth reached out, wrapping her delicate fingers around the stem of the goblet. She lifted it smoothly. "Then you must be quite exhausted from your duties, Dr. Corrington. You look terribly pale yourself. Why don't you drink it to fortify your own strength?" The physician backed away, his eyes wide with sheer panic. No, my queen. It is specifically formulated for your unique physiology. It would make me dreadfully ill." "Drink it," Gwyneth commanded, stepping forward. For the first time in her life, she tapped into the raw authority of her royal mate mark. The brand on her collarbone flared with sudden heat, channeling a fraction of Gonzalo's dominating aura through her voice. Corrington collapsed to his knees, bursting into pathetic sobs. "Please, mercy. Have mercy, I beg of you. They took my granddaughter, Lord Winston. Carmichael's men took her from her bed. They swore they would drown her in the river if I did not administer the poison to you and the child." Gwyneth froze the goblet, trembling in her hand. "Lord Winston, Carmichael, Lady Beatrice's uncle." Montgomery had not acted alone. The conspiracy to usurp the throne ran deeper and wider than they had ever imagined. The House of Carmichael was orchestrating a silent coup. Before Gwyneth could speak, the nursery door burst off its iron hinges with a deafening crash, splintering into heavy shards of oak. King Gonzalo stood in the threshold, his chest heaving, his golden eyes blazing with an unholy, murderous wrath. His claws were fully extended, dripping with the crimson life force of the two rogue guards he had just slaughtered in the hallway outside. He had felt Gwyneth's sudden surge of fear and authority through their bond, and had ripped his way through the keep to reach her. Gonzalo's gaze swept the room, taking in the terrified, weeping doctor, the steaming goblet in Gwyneth's hand, and the sleeping infant in the cradle. "Who?" Gonzalo snarled, the single word vibrating the very stones of the tower. Gwyneth set the poisoned goblet down on the table with a firm, sharp clatter. She looked at her king, her fated mate, and shed the last remnants of the frightened, packless rogue she used to be. She was the Omega Queen now, and she would protect her family at all costs. "Lock down the citadel, Gonzalo," Gwyneth said coldly. "We have vipers to hunt." Panic ripped through the icy corridors of Winterborne Citadel as the heavy iron portcullis slammed shut, sealing the fortress. Warning bells, massive bronze, cast instruments of war, tolled with a deafening rhythm that vibrated up through the stone floors. Within moments, the sanctuary of the High Court transformed into an inescapable cage. King Gonzalo did not delegate this hunt. Clad in his dark armor, his golden eyes burning with a lethal, untamed fury, he marched down the grand staircase with Gwyneth securely tucked behind his massive frame. She carried little Leo tightly against her chest, wrapped in the same velvet that had saved his life. Flanking them were 20 of the king's most elite Lycan warriors, the Iron Guard, their broadswords drawn and gleaming in the torchlight. "Commander Alistair!" Gonzalo growled, his voice a low, terrifying rumble that promised absolute ruin. "Seal the eastern wing. No one enters or exits the banquet hall. If any guard wearing the Carmichael crest draws a weapon, relieve them of their hands." "At once, my king," Alistair barked, signaling his men to fan out. Gwyneth felt the violent hum of her mate's rage through the brand on her collarbone. It was a suffocating heavy pressure, the raw might of an alpha pushed to the absolute edge of his sanity. Someone had tried to murder his fated mate and his heir in their own sanctuary. The treason was unforgivable. They reached the heavy oak doors of the banquet hall. Inside, the nobility of the northern reaches had gathered for the afternoon feast, completely unaware of the assassination attempt that had just failed. Gonzalo did not bother with the handles. He kicked the doors with such devastating force that the iron hinges shattered, sending the massive wooden slabs crashing into the long dining tables. Screams erupted from the highborn lords and ladies as they scrambled away from the flying debris. Goblets clattered to the floor, spilling rich red wine across the pale marble. Gonzalo stepped into the room, a looming silhouette of vengeance. Gwyneth followed closely, her chin held high, despite the trembling in her limbs. She would not cower. Not anymore. "Lord Winston Carmichael, Lady Beatrice!" Gonzalo called out, the chilling calm in his tone, far more terrifying than a roar. "Step forward." Near the head of the table, Winston Carmichael froze a slice of roasted pheasant halfway to his mouth. Beatrice, seated beside him, narrowed her toxic green eyes. She looked perfectly composed, dressed in an emerald gown, her posture stiff with aristocratic arrogance. "My king!" Winston stammered, standing up and brushing invisible crumbs from his velvet doublet. "Whatever is the meaning of this intrusion, we are in the middle of the midday feast. Bring him in!" Gonzalo interrupted, ignoring the sputtering lord. Two iron guards dragged a weeping, trembling figure into the hall and threw him onto the marble floor. It was Dr. Linus Corrington. The elderly physician sobbed openly, clutching his ruined, tear-stained tunic. "Tell them, Linus," Gwyneth said, her voice ringing clear and authoritative across the dead silence of the hall. "Tell the court exactly what you brought to the royal nursery." Nightshade, Corrington wailed, pressing his forehead against the cold stone. "Mixed with wolf's bane, Lord Winston forced me. They took my little Lily. They swore they would kill her if I did not administer the poison to the queen and the infant prince." A collective gasp of sheer horror echoed through the room. Whispers of treason erupted like wildfire among the gathered nobles. Winston's face drained of all color. He looked frantically at his niece, his composure shattering entirely. Lies! This man is senile, a babbling fool. My king, you cannot possibly believe the word of a madman over your most loyal, loyal! Gonzalo snarled, crossing the room in three massive, ground-eating strides. He grabbed Winston by the throat, lifting the grown man off the floor with a single hand. Winston kicked and gagged his face, turning a dangerous shade of purple. You reek of deceit, Winston. Your scent is sour with guilt. Put my uncle down, you brute! Lady Beatrice shrieked, finally dropping her mask of civility. She backed away from the table, raising two fingers to her lips and letting out a piercing, high-pitched whistle. Immediately, a dozen guards disguised as servants threw off their cloaks, revealing the dark green armor of the Carmichael House. They drew their steel, forming a protective ring around Beatrice. You think you can just claim a filthy, packless Omega as your equal? Beatrice spat her beautiful face, twisting into a mask of pure hatred. She is nothing. She brings shame to our ancient heritage. The Crofts are weak, coddling rogues, and relying on fairy tales of fated mates, the North needs a true, ruthless ruler. And you believed that ruler to be you? Gwyneth asked, stepping out from behind the wall of Gonzalo's guards. Beatrice sneered. I am the strongest alpha female in this kingdom. I was meant to sit on that throne. If I have to carve my way through you and that whimpering bastard child to get there, I will. Kill them all, Beatrice commanded her hidden soldiers. Take the king alive if you can, but slaughter the Omega. The banquet hall erupted into absolute chaos. The clash of steel rang out as the Iron Guard met the Carmichael traitors in brutal close-quarters combat. Overturned tables became makeshift barricades. Tapestries were torn from the walls in the struggle, falling over the combatants like heavy, embroidered shrouds. Gonzalo hurled Winston's unconscious body into a stone pillar and drew his own broadsword. He moved like a localized hurricane, parrying thrusts and disarming traitors with terrifying speed. He was a force of nature, driven by the biological imperative to protect his fated mate and his young. But Beatrice was not watching the battle. She had her eyes locked entirely on Gwyneth. From her velvet sleeve, the treacherous noblewoman produced a small glowing glass vial. She crushed it in her palm, inhaling the noxious, glowing green vapors. It was black alchemy, a forbidden, highly volatile substance, designed to force a lichen into a monstrous berserker shift, numbing all pain and multiplying their physical might tenfold. Beatrice let out a guttural, tearing scream as her bones began to snap and elongate. Her emerald gown ripped into shreds as thick, wiry black fur erupted from her skin. Within seconds, she was no longer human. She was an absolute abomination, a wolf the size of a warhorse, with frothing jaws and eyes that burned with toxic, unnatural luminescence. The sheer terror of her transformation caused the fighting around her to momentarily cease. Even the Iron Guard took a hesitant step back from the towering, unnatural beast. The monstrous Beatrice locked her glowing eyes on Gwyneth, letting out a roar that shook the very foundations of the ceiling. She lowered her massive head and charged, ignoring the swords clashing around her, intent only on tearing the Omega and the infant to pieces. Gonzalo was on the opposite side of the hall, his blade buried to the hilt in the armor of a Carmichael captain. When he saw the massive, twisted beast charging toward his mate, a sound of pure, unadulterated terror tore from his throat. Gwyneth! He roared desperately, trying to rip his sword free and close the distance. But three more traitors threw themselves in his path, desperate to buy their master time. Gwyneth watched the monstrous wolf barreling toward her. The floorboard splintered beneath Beatrice's heavy clawed paws. The scent of ozone, dark magic, and rotting meat filled the air. Every instinct in Gwyneth's fragile Omega body screamed at her to flee, to curl into a ball and hide. She was not a warrior. She had no combat training. She was hopelessly outmatched by the sheer physical mass of the Berserker Alpha. But as she clutched little Leo tighter against her chest, a profound, ancient calm washed over her. She remembered the freezing snow of the Widow's Breath. She remembered the agonizing, blinding heat of the royal brand searing itself into her flesh. The Moon Goddess had not chosen her because she was a fighter. The Goddess had chosen her because her capacity to protect was absolute. Gwyneth did not run. She stood her ground, her back straight, and closed her eyes. She reached inward, pulling on the golden glowing thread of the mate bond that tied her soul to the Alpha King. She channeled every ounce of her love, her fierce maternal instinct, and her unwavering divine right into the mark on her collarbone. The brand of the wolf and sword ignited. It did not merely glow. It erupted with blinding, incandescent light burning straight through the silk of her gown. The radiant light filled the banquet hall, forcing lords and soldiers alike to shield their eyes. As the monstrous Beatrice leaped into the air, jaws unhinged to snap Gwyneth in half, Gwyneth opened her eyes. They were no longer their normal soft hazel. They were glowing with the same fierce, piercing gold as King Gonzalo's. Submit! The command did not come from Gwyneth's throat. It seemed to echo from the very foundations of the earth, a manifestation of the goddess's absolute authority. It was the ultimate, inescapable command of the true queen. The magical shockwave hit the berserker wolf mid-air. Beatrice's monstrous form slammed into an invisible, impenetrable wall of divine force. The beast let out a whimpering, pathetic yelp as all the unnatural, alchemically induced strength was instantly stripped from her muscles. Beatrice crashed heavily onto the marble floor, sliding to a halt mere inches from Gwyneth's velvet slippers. The massive wolf tried to rise, her jaws snapping weakly, but the divine pressure of the Omega's aura pinned her flat to the ground. The beast's bones cracked in reverse, the dark magic violently expelled from her system. Within moments, the terrifying monster dissolved back into the broken, sobbing human form of Lady Beatrice, shivering on the cold stone. The entire hall was frozen in stunned, reverent silence. The remaining Carmichael guards dropped their swords, falling to their knees in absolute surrender. They had just witnessed a miracle. They had witnessed a banished, ragged Omega bring the most terrifying Alpha in the eastern provinces to heal without raising a single finger. Gonzalo shoved past the kneeling traitors, his chest heaving, his armor sprayed with crimson fluid. He dropped to his knees before Gwyneth, his massive hands frantically checking her and the baby for any sign of injury. "I am unharmed, my king," Gwyneth whispered softly, the golden glow slowly fading from her eyes. The blinding light of her brand settled back into a warm, pulsing hum. She reached out, running a trembling hand through Gonzalo's damp hair. "We are safe." Gonzalo let out a shuddering breath, wrapping his arms around her waist and burying his face in her stomach, right there in front of his entire court. He did not care about appearing vulnerable. His world, his entire existence was safe within her arms. He slowly rose to his feet, turning to face the ruined banquet hall. The fire in his eyes had returned colder and more calculating than before. "Commander Alistair," Gonzalo ordered, "take Lord Winston and Lady Beatrice to the deepest, darkest cells of the Undercroft. Send a detachment to the Carmichael estate to rescue Dr. Corrington's granddaughter. Once the child is secure, the House of Carmichael will be officially stripped of all lands, titles, and wealth. Their names will be stricken from the history of the northern reaches." Alistair bowed deeply, gesturing for his men to drag the weeping, broken nobles away. Gonzalo then turned to the remaining courtiers, the lords and ladies who had whispered behind Gwyneth's back, who had judged her for her ragged clothes and her packless origins, were now kneeling with their foreheads pressed against the marble floor. They had seen the undeniable proof of her divine right. She was not just a mate. She was a conduit of the goddess herself. Let this be the final lesson to any who doubt the will of the goddess. Gonzalo's voice echoed through the grand hall, resolute and absolute. Gwyneth is the heart of this kingdom. Her strength is my strength. From this day until the end of my reign, her word is law. He reached out, offering his hand to Gwyneth. She smiled a radiant, genuine expression that chased away the lingering shadows in the room, and placed her hand in his. Together they walked through the parted sea of kneeling nobles, stepping out of the ruined banquet hall, and into the bright, promising future of their united kingdom. The widow's breath storm had brought her nothing but cold and despair, but from the frozen ruins of her past, Gwyneth had forged an unbreakable dynasty. She had found a dying baby in the snow, and in return, she had found her family, her mate, and her rightful throne. Thank you so much for joining us on this incredible heart-stopping journey through the northern reaches. If you were captivated by Gwyneth's rise from a banished outcast to the fiercely protective Omega Queen, please hit that like button. Right now, don't forget to share this epic romance drama with your fellow werewolf story lovers, and make sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the notification bell so you never miss out on more thrilling, magical, and romantic tales. Drop a comment below telling us your favorite plot twist, and we will see you in the next epic video.